This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. We have got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. And you know, yesterday there was news in the NFL that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to play for the LA Rams. And how many of you, raise your hand, if you were all that shocked by this? It seemed like Odell Beckham Jr. wanted to pick teams that had playoff aspirations. Green Bay, New Orleans, Patriots, Seattle, Kansas City. These were the teams that were on his list. Yeah, he's not going to Jacksonville just to get out of Cleveland, by the way. But look, do I think this makes the Rams clearly the favorite? Not really. I think he can be utilized. There is some threat that he does have. I think he makes their offense a bit better. I'm not overwhelmed by this. I'm not pulling myself back and thinking, well, now the Rams are unbeatable. I didn't feel that way when they acquired Von Miller. I don't feel that way now. I think the Rams are an outstanding football team, whether he's on it or not. It makes them a bit better. I think the Rams were a good football team, whether Von Miller was on it or not. I think he could make them better. But I don't think this changes the game. I don't think this changes the perception. I don't think the Rams are clearly now the Super Bowl favorites because Odell Beckham Jr. is on this football team. I will say this, as for a guy that has had some problems off the field, I get it, and some ego, that the Rams are a pretty good location to land if you land on it. If you get there, they have a very good record of managing that kind of ego. They did it with Jalen Ramsey. I think they can do it here. But Matt Stafford loves this. LeBron James loves this. The team is excited to have him. I mean, Stafford said, I know he'll fit right in. I mean, how do you know that, right? I mean, you're just saying that. And then Stafford also said that if he wants to win, that's what we're all about. Yeah, he wants to win. That's why he chose the teams that are winning right now. It's whether or not he's going to be happy. But remember, too, Antonio Brown had a lot of problems, and then he found Tom Brady and the connection there. Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. finds this connection with Matt Stafford, in which you don't hear anything about him again other than he's catching some passes and he's part of an offense that is a real threat when they move the ball up and down the field. Maybe that's all we get out of this, which for the Rams would be great.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time as we continue along on a Friday. Get you into the weekend feeling good, maybe even feeling bad, maybe feeling dumb. What's the good of the day?
The good of the day. I got to give it to Dolphins offensive lineman Robert Hunt.
Man, what a moment. What a moment.
I mean, sure, we could have put it in bad. We could have put it in dumb. Momentary brain lapse of him just stealing it out of the air from Michael Gaskin. But, God, what a great run.
Not only a great run, but what an effort to flip 327 pounds and made a beautiful effort to try to get across the goal line.
He was across the goal line. That ball was across the goal line.
Yep.
Unfortunately for him, if you did not see the play, offensive lineman can't catch a ball out of the air and move it forward.
When he had that, do you think in his brain any split second he went, this is all for naught?
I don't know what he thought.
I'm not allowed to have this.
Yeah.
You know? I would say if you do that, if you get the ball, go for the end zone, just see what happens, right?
Right.
Because he had to at some point there's got to have been a part of him with all the football experience that he has where he's going for the touchdown. He's going, I can't be doing this. I'm not allowed to do this.
There had to have been.
Right?
He had to have known running down the field. I mean, where you say running down the field, I mean, what, like maybe 10 yards?
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, it was a 6-yard touchdown
run. Or stumbling down the field is more like it. He had to have known in those first couple of steps, I shouldn't be doing this.
Right, exactly.
I'm going for it.
Why not?
And he did. And Gudo's good. I don't know who the defensive player was for throwing his body at a 300-pound man.
Whew.
You're a better man than me.
Right, no
That's
doubt.
All I can say. I would no not doubt. Be throwing my body at that guy to try to flip him. I mean, obviously, you're not going to tackle him high. You'd get killed.
But you know what? This is now, here's the thing. We usually don't know the names of offensive linemen except for, like, big pricing left tackles. But right. a lot of the offensive linemen we don't know.
Right
we don't
guard.
Really pay for it. Yeah, like those guys. Robert Hunt, now, he should be capitalizing on this fame, right?
Oh, my
Shouldn't
God.
He? There should be some T-shirts, some local, some local company should get him on some advertising. Have him make fun of this or do something with it. Have fun.
You can go bigger than locally. Come on.
Maybe
go
nationally. Yeah, why not, since it was a nationally televised game.
Maybe he replaces Aaron Rodgers in some campaign.
Yeah,
because you
exactly.
know he's going to get dropped by something soon.
Yeah. Are they going to do?
I don't But no,
I heard people could get the Robert Hunt rate as I stumble down to savings on my car insurance.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to see this rate? We'll flip it for you.
We'll flip it for you. Yeah, exactly. Man, you and I are...
Yeah,
look what
we're
we've done this morning.
We're really good at this stuff.
We're really good at this stuff. We've already told hospitals to put in a video game room for those of us waiting on results. And also, we just told State Farm to bring in Robert Hunt. And we gave you taglines for it. What are we doing here? This is great.
And, you know, and he was interviewed afterwards. So it sounds like, I mean, I don't have any audio from it, but it sounds like he has a great personality, too.
I believe he does.
So... Yeah, he could be a good face for something.
Congratulations. That's a good of the day. Robert Hunt, right guard for the Dolphins, bumbling and stumbling his way to a touchdown that didn't count.
Yeah.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
You know, but he will have that highlight shown that there.
Absolutely.
That ball crossed the goal line. That would have counted for any running back, wide receiver, quarterback you can think of.
Exactly. And you know what? Here's the other thing real quick. That picture of him extending the ball... Bring him in to sign 10,000 copies of that.
Oh, that come on. He's,
yeah. Dolphin fans will start snatching that thing out of
it. It would be an injustice to his life if somebody does not present him a framed copy of that.
Absolutely.
That he can put up
question.
In his man cave.
Absolutely.
Because that's going to be his highlight forever.
Because
other than that, what does he do? Blocks.
Yeah.
You know,
blocks.
He doesn't do anything.
Relatively unknown. All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is Scott Boras.
Yeah, Scott Boras. I'm glad you brought this up. I kind of forgot to get to this yesterday. I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, Scott Boras, if you didn't know, he holds a State of the Union address pretty much every year.
Yeah, he does.
First of all, I mean, how is one man so powerful in Major League Baseball that doesn't do anything with Major League Baseball?
It's really crazy how powerful he is. He is really influential.
But, you know, where the dumb goes or where the bad goes, I mean, obviously he's going to talk about his players, you know, who are free agents. I mean, that's what he does. That's why he's there. He's there to, you know, push them and get them the most amount of money humanly possible. But where the bad comes in is that he kind of went scorched earth on the MLB for, in his words, allowing a team that was sub-500 in August to win the World Series.
Excuse me.
And a lot of it pretty much stems from the fact that none of his players are on the Braves.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think
right?
that's where it's coming from.
That's where it's coming from. It's not coming from this analytical look and saying, all right, look at I think it has everything to do with the fact that he doesn't have a player on the Braves.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if this was the Yankees who did this, or, you know, because the Yankees had major issues all season long. Or take any other team that was maybe 500 and then, you know, or the Washington Nationals 2 years ago, right? They did it. They were like a sub-500 team, were able to right the ship, turn it around, and get in there. He was totally fine with it. He had no issues with it then because Max Scherzer is one of his clients.
Is he looking at the future and saying that teams are going to be building teams differently now?
Well, basically what he's saying was that since there's a cap on draft picks or something along those lines, or there's a draft cap. I'm not 100% sure because MLB draft confuses me outside the first two rounds because it can go on for like 30,000 rounds.
It's like 30 rounds. It's crazy. It's, and it runs like 4 days.
Yeah. But his issue was that draft picks aren't weighted as much as, say, in other sports.
Right.
And so you may have a team that could be tanking for extra draft picks, and then just giving them away, pretty much what the Braves did. The Braves pretty much just gave up draft picks to sign the, you know, the key players, Soler, Jock Peterson, the guy who kept Rosario. You know, pretty much they got rid of draft picks to bring in those guys to help them win the World Series. Why? Because the Braves were depleted. They didn't have any of their main guys all season long because of injuries. So I don't get the argument.
Well, look, he's talking about tanking in baseball, and that happens. But I think the term is poison, right? Because the term implies, okay, there's a difference between stripping down your roster to start again and or to relieve your team of certain contracts that are preventing you from building a team a certain way, and tanking. Tanking is, when I think of tanking, and maybe I'm the only one, so maybe this definition of his definition is more used, but this is the way I think. When I think of tanking, I think of teams actively trying to lose games, right?
Right.
Not doing a process that results in them losing games. I mean, trying to lose games on purpose. That's what I think tanking is. When we say like, oh, the so-and-so, that team is tanking to get the number one pick in the NBA draft. That means, that says to me that the team went, star player, you ain't playing. And oh, by the way, let's turn over the ball as much as we can. And
yeah,
let's miss free throws and all that other stuff. That to me is tanking. That's dangerous. What he's complaining about is sort of a methodology of the sport that is resulting in lost revenue for him, obviously, but is creating what he is talking about, this competitive cancer, that the term that he used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, let's face it, Major League Baseball draft picks aren't as profitable, lucrative, don't mean as much as, say, NBA draft picks or NFL
draft picks.
Of course,
absolutely. You could draft a kid out of high school or out of college,
yep,
and not see him for 3 or 4 years. I mean, maybe a little lot. Like 3 or 4 years is a lot. Maybe 2 or 3.
Hey, you could draft a kid out of high school, and that kid goes, nah, I'm going to go to college.
Yeah, the high school thing is probably 3 to 4, right?
Yeah.
A college kid, if you draft a senior out of Vanderbilt, let's say, you're likely going to have him up within a year or whatever, right? But yeah, if you draft an 18-year-old kid out of high school, it's very likely you won't see him for a couple years.
Or ever.
Yeah, that's true. And some guys never get to the show.
You may have drafted him and just like, yeah, you know what? Well, we took a shot on him. The kid just never developed. He peaked in high school and never got better. And, you know, now he's, you know, a real estate agent somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day the dumb of the day is Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Now, you know, he's been he injured his finger. He tore a couple tendons one of his fingers in his throwing hand, right? And that was, what, about a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, rest assured, Tony, he is doing everything he can to get back to the field as soon as possible, which means he is rehabbing that finger 19 to 20 hours per day.
19 to 20 hours per day. What's he doing? What's he doing? Like a little like pulley?
Apparently I know what he's not doing, and what he's not doing is sleeping.
No, yeah. Well, that's true. 19 to 20 hours a day means he's only getting 4 hours of rest.
Yeah.
Is there a way he's stimulating it while he sleeps? Like he puts on something that just bends it while he's sleeping, like some robotic thing?
I don't know.
Like some Terminator type of hand?
I mean, this sounds total football guy.
You know what? It totally does. And you know what? It leads to other things. I think we over-exaggerate hours in almost everything we do. I think, you know, like I hear people say, yeah, I work all the time. I work 100 hours a week. And I want to go, stop. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I want to go, no, you don't. You don't. Because 100 hours a week is 20 hours during a 5-week schedule. And what? 15, 16 hours in a 7-day schedule, 15 hours in a 7-day schedule, like less than that, 14. You're not doing that every day. Sorry, you're not. You're not working 100 hours a week.
You're not.
You say you are because you think it's a fun round number. And that's the same thing. I work 20 hours a day. Okay, maybe you worked 20 hours a day once. Maybe there was a big project at the firm that required you to work 20 hours for 3 days straight. But that's not a consistent everyday thing.
No,
because
notoriously, film crews will work 18-hour days.
Right, exactly.
And I understand. They actually do work 18-hour days.
Sure, exactly.
But they do that for a month.
They do that for a month.
And then they're off.
that's what I'm not. I am not arguing the occasional 18-hour day. All of us have had those.
Yeah.
Right. All, even me in this crazy, insane business.
Yep.
I've had long 18-hour days. I'm saying you wake up, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you get in your car, no matter what day it is, January 10th, August 5th, July 13th, October 22nd, doesn't matter what day it is, you get into the office at a certain time, and you don't leave until 20 hours later. That's what I'm talking about. That's not happening. Yes, 20 hours to work on the project before the big case, or like my brother is an accountant and he does filing for taxes and all that other audits and things like that.
Yeah, March and April have got to suck for him.
Insane, insane amount of time, right? Obviously, but it's not every single day. And yeah, I think in Russell Wilson's case, he went, what sounds like something that makes me sound like I'm all in?
Right.
20 hours.
I mean,
that's what I'll say.
It's a wow. What do you do to rehab a finger?
I know.
That's the other thing I'm struggling with. It's like, I understand it. Like, if you're trying to rehab your knee, you're trying to build up the muscle. I'm not taking away. Finger injuries are, you know, they're bad. You know, I get it. But, I mean, it's a finger.
If you can work a muscle 20 hours straight, how much rehab do you need on it?
Well, I mean, that's the problem.
You're not even resting it?
Yeah, you're going to need rest period. I mean, you only rested those 4 hours then?
Like, you don't go to the gym and grab a 5-pound dumbbell and curl it for 14 straight hours.
Yeah, but is he doing that just with a finger, though?
Right. Good point. Good point. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue. More on the thoughts on the Odell Beckham Jr. to the Rams situation next as we continue.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection and find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So saying at the top of the hour, Odell Beckham Jr. to the Rams, I don't think this is the nail in the coffin that is done for everybody else in the NFC. I don't think there is that. You know what it is? It is when Antonio Brown went to Tampa Bay and you went, you know, Tampa Bay's got a lot of weapons and he's just going to add to that. We'll see. And I think that's just all you get with this. There are a couple of free agent signings or trades or whatnot that you go, oh God, that changes the complex of everything. I don't think this is it. I don't think this is one of them. I think the Rams could win with them and could win without them. I don't think this is sort of, you know, I don't think we're going to look back. If the Rams should go on to win the Super Bowl, I mean, unless, of course, he was magnificent. I mean, just statistically an anomaly where you just go, wow, look at what happened here since his arrival. I think he's going to be a good wide receiver in a offense that has got a lot of weapons. I think he's an additional weapon that you got to be careful with if you're on defense, et cetera, et cetera. Matt Stafford certainly can get him the football. So you got to account for this guy's speed and his ability to go deep. But it didn't wow me like you would think it would. When the news came down yesterday, it didn't hit me like, okay, game on Dallas, game on Green Bay, game on Arizona, right? It just didn't feel that way. Game on Tampa Bay. It didn't feel that same punch. I think it's just another great addition, but they're already a threat anyway. Look, it's the same, unfortunately, with Von Miller. Yes, pairing Von Miller up with Aaron Donald is going to be awesome, but is Von Miller going to be the Von Miller of old? No. And I think that's the difference. So in that regard, I don't think this is a deal breaker. I mean, in terms of, I think that Dallas still has an opportunity, Tampa Bay, Arizona. It just maybe feels a little
tired. Can't count out the
tired.
Buccaneers.
Yeah, you could.
No, I'm saying, I mean, that's another one I think still is in the mix too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Tampa Bay. So be careful, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But it's like Antonio Brown going to the Bucs. I don't think we thought of it as, oh, this changes everything. I think it is, oh, well, he's got another weapon. He's already got good ones.
Yeah.
This, you know.
Yeah. Look, and that's the thing. I think with the Rams, I mean, you bring in OBJ, you know, we already know Stafford's favorite target right now is Cooper Kupp. Every NFL team knows that and still haven't been able to find a way to stop it. I think bringing in OBJ just adds that element of, hey, you know what? I'm still going to go to Cooper. But yeah, you got to account for OBJ.
That's right. You got to account for him. That's how the dynamic of the offense looked. Look, Matt Stafford's not throwing three touchdown passes on one play, right?
Yeah.
He's still got weapons enough to move the ball down the field. This is not, think of it this way. This is not a team that runs the ball really well and goes, man, we just don't have that one dynamic playmaker on wide receiver that can change our aerial attack. They already have a great aerial attack. They've got wide receivers that are getting separation. They have plays that open up the field for their wide receivers. This is an additional guy that the defenses have to account for because he's excellent at the deep ball throws. He's excellent at getting big yardage on plays. And Stafford has a big arm that can get him the football. And that could change the offense in that regard. Like you see, hey, look, Odell Beckham's may not be getting the bevy of targets, but he's contributing in a way that allows Robert Woods to get a few more or Cooper Kupp to get a few more, even though Cooper Kupp is getting certainly his share and is totally fine whether he's on the team or not. But again, this is like Von Miller. Is the defense better because Von Miller is on it? Yes, absolutely. Is it the game changing now this defense, this is Super Bowl? No, because that conference is still really difficult, right? I still see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, Kyle Murray in Arizona, Dallas and Dak Prescott. I still see these teams as all competing for this, and I don't see the Rams separating themselves by that much. Just maybe a bit, but not entirely. It's not entirely different. If all of those teams were sort of swimming in the level of mediocrity that we're seeing in the AFC, then I'd say this would be a bigger impact.
It'd be a big game. It would be a game changer. Now, the only thing it does do, puts the Rams on the front page because, like, God, look at this. I mean, they brought in Von Miller last week. Now they're bringing in OBJ this week. Yeah. I mean, what's next?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. It's like, wait a minute. How many people can they bring in?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, how many people can they make deals for? Like, after a while, you're like, isn't there a cap or something? Like, what am I missing? Are they taking pay cuts?
Is there a running back out there that doesn't have a job right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right?
Like, are they going to bring in Adrian Peterson as soon as Derrick Henry comes back and the Titans go?
As soon as the Titans are done with him? Yeah, as soon as we're done, he'll just go there and earn himself a nice ring. Oh, goodness. It is really remarkable. On the larger picture of this, it is really remarkable how the Rams are going about doing this. They are all in. You said it during the break. Kroenke is all in on getting that Super Bowl now this year at SoFi Stadium. Get the Rams in that building in February playing for a championship.
Because we know we want owners want to, it's their stadium that's hosting a Super Bowl. They want their team there. Jerry Jones made it infamous. I mean, he was
crystal clear that Cowboys had to play in Super Bowl 45.
Yeah. And he was trying to do everything he could to make it happen. It just didn't happen. I'm getting the feeling, why am I blanking? The Glazers, they were literally the first to do it last year.
Yeah.
And now, they kind of put a model together, and I think people are looking at it like, well, look, you brought in Tom Brady, and then you brought, got Gronk in, and then you brought AB in, and then you got Fournette in, you did this, you did that. You brought all these different elements in there to a team that was already good. The Rams seem to be on the same page right now. I mean, they got rid of Goff and brought in Stafford, definite upgrade. And, now they're starting to bring in those other secondary pieces that probably will help out. I mean, I think the addition of Von Miller is a bigger impact than the addition of OBJ.
I would say that, too. Yeah, I would say that, too. That's
only going to help Aaron Donald out. I mean, if you line those two up next to each other, good night.
Yeah, it's like adding a little bits of horsepower to a Lamborghini, right? All right, you're going to go a little faster, but aren't you going fast enough? It's the same thing with this offense. That offense is super, super high power. You're adding another element that's going to make it even more high power, but it's already super high power. But I think the defense gets an upgrade with Von Miller. He's not the same kind of Von Miller. But I want to extend on this a little bit going into the next segment, because if you're a general manager right now, is this Rams method attractive enough for you to change the way you build your teams? It may not be like you think. We'll talk about that next. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in hour number three, just to give you an idea of what we're going to do, it's going to be a lot of NFL on a Friday. We're going to talk to Emery Hunt. He's one of my favorite guests, too. I always say that with our guests, but Emery Hunt is. He's really, really good. A knowledgeable football guy. We're going to talk NFL with him, and we're going to do it early, and then we're going to get into our kind of preview of the games, whether or not your time is well spent watching some of the contests in the NFL this weekend. What can you skip, or what do you absolutely have to watch? Can't miss. Sorry, honey, I can't do the honey to-do list. This game is on. We got that all covered for you coming up at hour number three. But we were talking about the Rams, and the Rams acquiring Odell Beckham Jr. And again, I personally do not think it's a gigantic deal enough that puts the Rams so over the top it's not even a race in the NFC. I think it just makes a good offense better. But there's no question the way the Rams are building. And that is that's the larger picture to this. The Rams, as we said earlier, they are all in on winning right now. Right now. Even at the expense of the future. And it could pay off for them. They've got, a good enough team to win the Super Bowl where you wouldn't be surprised if they did. Right? I mean, you could put a bunch of NFC teams out there. Buccaneers, Green Bay, Arizona, Dallas, and the Rams. They are all good enough to go to the Super Bowl that any of those teams would not shock you. It wouldn't be an upset. But if this does pay off, are general managers around the country going to start looking at the way they build their team a little bit differently? Remember, the Rams have no problem sacrificing the future right now. They're giving up a ton of draft picks to get guys they know, right? It's sort of the way they're viewing it is, if I have a pick in the draft, I get an unknown entity. If I have this pick in a draft that I can trade for a known entity, that's better for us, even if that known entity has some wear and tear on it and isn't going to last as long as the potential of the unknown entity, I can utilize that today and I'll deal with the future in the future. It's a scary proposition if you're a new GM, because we saw this play out in the Aaron Rodgers fiasco this offseason with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, we're repeating the story over and over again, but it's just to set the stage up. Aaron Rodgers wanted to be consulted about drafting Jordan Love in the first round of the 2020 draft. He was not. He was kind of bitter about that, angry about that. In defense of the Packers, they do not owe Aaron Rodgers a phone call on this. Now, that's for a lot of people hard to believe, right? Why wouldn't you go to the top player on the team? Doesn't that seem amazing that the best player on the team, the most important guy on the team, you wouldn't consult? Players forever have never been consulted about picks. Why? Because for players, that's not their job and their input isn't necessary. A good general manager knows what your team needs. He doesn't need to sit with Aaron Rodgers to hear what Aaron Rodgers needs. He should be good enough to know what the team needs without that input. They drafted Jordan Love because, for whatever reason, they liked Jordan Love so much that they knew that the end was going to come eventually for Aaron Rodgers, and this guy takes the team to keeps them on the same level. That's drafting for the future rather than drafting for now. That's the controversy. The controversy isn't speaking to Aaron Rodgers about it. The controversy is what kind of draft do you want in round one? Filling a necessary need or drafting for the future? In this case, the Packers realized Jordan Love was so valuable as a draft pick that even if it takes a couple of years, he is the guy for the future when that day finally comes. Think about this, though, first. If you're the Rams, you would not draft Jordan Love with that pick. You would package that pick for a quarterback out there that you already knew could be down the road your quarterback of the future. That's the way the Rams are thinking in that example, right? The Rams are saying, look, the window is this long. It's short. We've got to fill this team with enough talent, even at the expense of the future, to win today, because that gives us lots of currency in our quote-unquote new town. And I say new town because they haven't been there in 20 years, but you get what I'm saying. They're coming back to Los Angeles. They've got this brand new stadium. There's another team in town that they need to separate from, a team that came in not really wanted by the city, and now they have a chance to win a Super Bowl and really cement themselves in that market once more. But here's the thing. if it doesn't work out, and winning Super Bowls is really tricky. I mean, think about it. Aaron Rodgers has one. Dan Marino has zero. John Elway didn't win his until his late 30s. That's how tough winning a Super Bowl is. It's not guaranteed on anybody, and there's no formula to win it. There is no playbook to win a Super Bowl. It just happens, right? Circumstances, luck. Sometimes your talent shines through and you're injury-free. Sometimes you have the greatest team in the world and injuries derail your team. Sometimes you have the best team in the world and a team like the New York Giants spoil that party. But the thing you have to risk as a general manager is this. If you sacrifice your future, if you trade away all your picks, you better make sure everybody within that organization is on board with what the potential outcome could be. If I was a GM and I sat down with the people that were part of the strategic element of how I was building that team, the owner, the head coach, whoever, the vice president of football operations, whatever it meant, I would make sure everybody was on the same page that we may not win a Super Bowl, but we are going to go down swinging with this. But I'm not going to be the one that's going to be hung out to dry if this does not work out. This is an organization effort. You will ask me to put together the team with the available assets that we have, that I will. But if it does not come down that we win a Super Bowl and we are not picking in the first round for 5 years or whatever it may be, that I'm not going down with the ship, that this is not going to be me that is going to be, well, if we only, we should have never listened to Tony D in the first place, his insane idea of trading draft picks for seasoned veterans that could help us now. I'd make sure I wasn't the one going down with that ship. The thing about being a general manager in any sport is that you are always preparing for the future. Always, 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 always. The second you win a title, you are thinking about how you win the next one. Right? The Braves organization is right now figuring out, how do we put this team together for another run? What are we going to do with Freddie Freeman's contract? They're always doing that. It's one of the reasons why, you ever seen a team win a title and like 2 days later, they're like, the guy's released or he's a free agent or whatever it may be. Right. Yeah, exactly. Because you got to go to work the next day and you go, all right, let's do this one more time. And how are we going to do it? What's our plan this time rather than last year? Because we know this, rosters have to change. The same roster that won you a title today is not going to win it for you tomorrow. You are going to have to get better in certain areas. You got to take your deficiencies and fix them. You have a great bullpen? Great. But you have weak starting pitching? Go get better starting pitching.
Yep.
Because the idea of you going, we'll just win a title again with weak starting pitching and our bullpen will bail us out. You have to get better pitching.
I mean, we were all in awe that the Buccaneers went ahead and signed back all 22 of their starters.
Exactly. Because it never happens.
It never happens. But at the same time, is that a winning formula?
Right.
Are those 22 starters going to be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season again?
And are they going to do it just because they signed all 22 players again?
Yeah.
Right? Like the same luck, the same circumstances, the same way you win. Right? That's what you have to do. I'd be nervous. I'll tell you right now, if the Rams win this and my owner comes in, because, owners, half of them don't even know how this works. If my owner came in and was like, hey, I just heard the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. They said, the Rams win the Super Bowl this year. What are they doing that we ain't doing? And again, why do I do an NFL owner with some crazy Southern accent to make it sound like he's living in a big white house?
Well, basically you're doing Jerry Jones.
I know. I'm basically doing Jerry Jones. That's probably right.
Because it's Jerry Jones the one asking these questions.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He probably walked into his office like, all right, they did it again. What are they doing that we're not doing?
Now, hold on, the Rams. We got to do this again. Yeah, totally. I mean, again, if my owner came to me and said, look, I want you to do what they're doing, I'd be like, yeah, okay, about that. Right? Because, like I said this when they got Von Miller. Look, they're not nullifying the importance of the draft. The draft is such a cool spectacle. It's so awesome. We're always going to love that draft. But you almost get nervous that the last few Super Bowl champions over the last 20 years have always looked at the first round and went, eh. Second round, yeah, we might find somebody there. Yeah, third round, yeah, we'll find some people there. I mean, the New England Patriots were never a team that was like, we're moving up 10 spots, right? The Rams are like, we don't even have spots to move up to. And like, it makes you sort of go, well, maybe there is something to this, and I don't want to diminish the importance of getting young players, but if 28 teams in the league are really going to be excited about getting a 21-year-old to play for them, and I can get a couple of 28, 29-year-olds playing for me that experience and maybe even a couple of Pro Bowls, maybe this is a way I should be doing it. You know, it's just an interesting way to look at it. I know I'd be a little nervous. I like the idea of scouting, drafting, growing guys. You know what? Here's a perfect example, right? Because it's not really a perfect example, but look what's going on with the New Orleans Pelicans right now, okay, in the NBA. The Pelicans stink. Is anybody realizing how bad the Pelicans are? They stink. You know what this means? Do you remember how excited their front office was? Remember the video that you saw their front office when they won the lottery to draft Zion Williamson? Remember that? They had like all the ticket people and they were rolling along and they were like, look at this. Like, the Pelicans are 1-11. 1-11. And they're about ready. Zion would, in a couple of years, is going to say, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing. I'm getting hurt. I can't participate. I'm going to go get somewhere else. Like, you've got to be careful with what assets you have and take care of them. And if it means putting better teams around the guys that you do draft, yeah. But in the Rams' case, they want to make sure they just go out and get every single good player that they like at whatever cost it may be. All right, we're going to continue along. Don't forget Emory Hunt coming up at hour number 3, and then going over the entire NFL schedule to make sure you're well prepared as what is valuable and what is not valuable of your time from the NFL. It's all coming up on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. So again, the Rams getting OBJ yesterday. I don't know. Again, we'll see. I hate to be that old man that just goes, we'll see. Like the old man in the village. That story Philip Seymour Hoffman told in Charlie Wilson's War. But I really hate to say it, but I think it's more of a we'll see thing. But I'll give you a hot take. How's that? You want a hot take on OBJ?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Ready? Odell Beckham Jr. to the Rams guarantees a Super Bowl for Los Angeles. Yep, you heard me say it. It guarantees a Super Bowl. Because he is going to be able to catch 25, 35 touchdowns for the rest of the season for Matt Stafford. Forget Cooper Kupp. Forget Robert Woods. Odell Beckham Jr. Now this is going to be his team. Was that hot enough?
We're printing it right now.
Okay, is that...
T-shirts coming soon.
It's very lukewarm of me as a sports talk show host to say that we'll see for Odell Beckham Jr., but I cannot think of any other way to say it. I just don't think this moves the needle that much. I just don't.
I 100% agree with you. I don't see... It's not a game changer. It's not like, you know, bringing Tom Brady to Tampa, that was a game changer. Now, I didn't think
Absolutely.
They would win the Super Bowl. But
I didn't either.
But automatically, you're penciling them into the playoffs.
Absolutely, 100%, right? Because, again, and as our good friend Pat Donovan has told us many times, lost in that sort of 7-9 season for the Bucs under Jameis Winston was the fact that the Buccaneers were in a lot of those games that Winston kind of threw away. You know, I mean,
literally.
30 interceptions is one thing, yeah. But he also had 30 touchdowns. You just refine that position enough, it kicks him up into the next level. I just don't think this does that for the Rams. And look, I know, there's a saying in this business and in pretty much this day and age now in social media with clicks and likes and all that other stuff, is that, you know, if people who go down the middle get squashed. But sometimes the middle is where the truth is. Right. Sometimes the middle is where the truth is. Not everything has to be Super Bowl or complete and utter bust of a signing. Sometimes it can be in the middle. Antonio Brown is in the middle, right? No matter how you want to look at it, when Antonio Brown went to the Buccaneers, that was pretty much the middle. Yep, he had some touchdown catches, right? Helped, certainly. But you don't look at Antonio Brown's arrival in Tampa Bay and went, that's when everything changed. because the one extreme is the Buccaneers are going nowhere and Antonio Brown comes and changes the entire dynamics of the offense and they win the Super Bowl. And the other extreme is that he was screaming and hollering at everybody and posting videos he shouldn't have posted and burned his feet on a cryogenics machine. And he got cut just before the playoffs started. The truth was in the middle. Antonio Brown did his job. He was a weapon for Tom Brady. Occasionally he went to him, occasionally caught touchdowns. But in the end, he was part of the larger process. That's exactly where I see Odell Beckham Jr. I don't see him as, oh my God, why in the world did they waste their time with this guy? Or he was single-handedly responsible for bringing them a Super Bowl championship. The middle is where the truth is. The middle is where a lot of stuff is. We sort of lose that in this world of clicks and hot takes and all of that other thing. But that's properly the way to look at this signing. Now, you may disagree. You may say, look, I think it's going to be so bad. I think his ego is so bad that even the Rams, who are good with egos, are going to keep that in check. Yeah, fine. That's a fine opinion to have. I do think the Rams, though, in dealing with previous egos, have done a good job of keeping those things in check. Jalen Ramsey is the top of that list, for example. And I think the way they handled Matt Stafford coming in, he's the excitement and what he wanted to bring and what he wanted to do, right? And how he seamlessly went into this team and now look at where they are right now. I think Odell Beckham Jr. will do that. I just don't think he's going to be the thing, the turning point of an already stacked NFC that is loaded with traps, lots of traps, including a team in their own division in the Arizona Cardinals. All right, Emory Hunt next as we continue. And then we'll go over the games of the weekend as we continue at Sports Map Radio.